to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
Remember a guy on the back of a demon-possessed guy running down the road. Come on, somebody. You just don't forget things like that when you grow up. And there are some great churches, and I'll talk about them in when I allude to it today. I've learned in years gone by that it doesn't matter to me the label it's on a church. They can have any label they want, from charismatic to Baptist, Methodist. If they love God, come on, if they love God. And Jesus said that one time. He you know, his disciples came and said, "We found some guys casting devils out, and we forbid them because they didn't walk with us." And Jesus said, "Stop that nonsense. There's nobody for us that is can be against us." So when I talk about some things and poke fun, I hope you understand that I'm not making fun, but poking fun, because I was a denomination for a season. And I'm not putting down denominations, because there's a lot of great denominations doing a great work for God. And I'll tell you this. I remember one time there was a big fight between the follower of one man. It was either Finney or one of the two of the great men of God at that time in the world. I remember they finally came and they interviewed one of the great men. They says, "Well, what do you think? You think you're going to see your rival?" They called him, the paper did call, "Your rival in heaven?" And this man said, "No." And the newspaper was right there. "Oh, they love this." He said, "Yeah, because," he said, and he said, "Let me explain that." He said, "He's going to be so far near the throne, I'm going to be so far back, I won't even see him." Come on, somebody. So today we'll do that. All right, everybody stand up now that you're comfortably seated and all secure. Everybody stand up. Since I have to stand up the whole time, you know, I have to stand up from start to finish. 2 Corinthians 13, and I want to talk to you this morning. We're going to end up today. We're going to do one more day. I'm going to do on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk to you one more time, a kind of a different approach. And 2 Corinthians 13 and 14 says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ." Everybody say the grace. Grace. Everybody loves the grace. Everybody goes after the grace. All right. "The grace of the Lord Jesus, the love." Everybody say love. Love. "The love of God." This is Paul ending this letter. This is the last scripture of the book of 2 Corinthians, the last letter he wrote them. Here's how he ended. "The grace of Jesus, the love of God." And then he put this phrase in, "and the fellowship." Everybody say the fellowship. "The fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you." Everybody say the fellowship. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And Paul, a great mind, a great thinker, he wrote this and he said, he talked about the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, so loved the world. But then he puts this the other phrase in, the fellowship. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Peterson was a translation, and I just want to put it up here. Peterson translated it this way. He said, "The intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit." In the Greek, it has all kinds of meanings. Fellowship, intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people want the grace of the Lord, study grace. You know, a lot of them study the love of God. But Paul said, "I also want you to experience the fellowship, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit." Let's pray this morning. Father, how we love you this morning. We want to do and want to... Lord, we want a new paradigm in our heart, our lives. We want to see things as you see them and walk with them. Let tradition fall. Let all the stones that people have put up, let traditions fall. Let concepts fall. Let beliefs fall. And Lord, we want to do what you want to do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said a great amen. Amen. Give Lord a good clap offering. Would you do that with me this morning? Just do that with me. You can be seated. You know, tenets that our church was built on many years ago was many people in here grew up in some form of denomination. Some of you haven't grown up yet, but some of you grew up in this and that. Some of you didn't grow up in any kind of religion. And but your concepts of what was right and wrong, what was true and false. And we decided many years ago to throw all that away and to simply study the Bible. And if we didn't see something in the Bible that we had been taught, then we were willing to change. And we changed many of our concepts in that day. But the Bible speaks of the grace of Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, or the fellowship, or the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul begins to speak, he says, about this fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And I told you, when I grew up, I was Baptist. I grew up Free Will Baptist, kind of a different Baptist church than the Southern Baptist. The Free Will Baptist in Virginia believed in free will grace. It was kind of a different deal. And every communion, we had foot washing. I don't know if you ever grew up that way. Every communion, you did foot washing with communion. That was just a thing that we did growing up. That night that we had communion, it was the cleanest feet of the year for everybody. I know they'd done their nails. They'd done, you know, washed their feet. And you didn't need to wash feet. Come on, somebody. Jesus did not do that washing of the feet because their feet was dirty. That's what he was doing in that day. The most nearest thing to foot washing today is someone that does shining of shoes. That's more likable today. That's because there's a need. Jesus washed their feet because their feet was dirty. I remember growing up doing foot washing all my life. I never saw more cleaner feet in all my life. They did not need to be washed. And communion time, we did that growing up. I was a Baptist. Now, one of the keys about my life was I was taught about the Holy Ghost. I was taught about the Holy Spirit in my Baptist church growing up. And the only thing I knew that he was to do, though, was that he always was invoked at the altar call. Only thing I remember growing up was, and my concept of the Holy Spirit was, he was something that came in at the altar call. He was one that was there to convict a sinner of his sin. Secondly, what I knew about the Holy Ghost was he was to follow them home, those that did not repent and get saved that day, and make restlessness upon them and not to let them sleep. That's what I thought about the Holy Ghost. I didn't have a good concept of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but my concept was he introduced sleeplessness and restlessness upon people. I remember when I was pastoring a Baptist church in town, and I had become spirit-filled. I'd just been spirit-filled a few weeks. And I'd heard there was a meeting in Gonzales with a spirit-filled evangelist that was being used in prophecy and everything. And so I took part of my Baptist church with me. I made an announcement that let's go down to Gonzales. I just want to go to a meeting. I didn't tell them what it was about. I didn't inform them. I just said, let's go. There's an evangelist down there. We went down there, and listen, I'm going to tell you, there was a lot of craziness in those days. And this guy was a flipper. I don't know if you ever say he used to flip his back when he prayed for people. We said about halfway through this meeting, I thought, do I want to be a part of this or I want to go back to my Baptist church? I just did it. I remember there used to be times when things would occur, the silliness. I remember one guy, when I first got spirit-filled, we were in a meeting and we were praying. I remember he looked at me, he says, look. And I looked at him. He said, look at the hair on my arm. And I looked at him and he said, it's standing up. Oh, this Holy Spirit-filled life. Isn't it great? I said, do I want to stay here? I want to go back to my Baptist church. A lot of zaniness. One of the things I appreciate about the pastor we grew up under here, Randy Bonacarso, he was established in the Word. And he didn't let a lot of that insert. He didn't let all that craziness go on. And we were one of the more balanced in terms of a lot of the stuff that took place. The Holy Spirit is not simply a ghost. The Holy Spirit is not an it. Everybody say it. Look at John 16. The Holy Spirit, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. This is Jesus. And his concept of the Holy Spirit was this. If I had to take a vote in here this morning and say, which would you rather have? Would you rather have Jesus here physically with our church, attending every Sunday? Or would you rather have the Holy Spirit here every Sunday? Now, be honest, because most of us would say we'd rather have Jesus here. And yet he taught exactly the opposite. He said, I tell you, everybody say the truth. This is not a lie. This is the truth. I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come. But if I go, I will send it to you. Is that what he said? I will send who? Him to you. And as real as Jesus was a him, the Holy Spirit is a him. He said, I tell you the truth this morning, it is to your advantage that I go away. Oh, no, don't leave us, Jesus. It is to your advantage that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the helper will not come. But if I go away, I will send him. He's not a blob. He's not some mist that comes into the room. He's not some feeling. He is a him. He's a person. He's real. You address him. You can speak to him. He's just as real as Jesus is. He's just as real a him as Jesus was a him. He's the Holy Spirit. The Bible speaks about it. Look at verse 8. I will not send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and of the... Everybody say he again. Say he. You know, Jesus speaks over and over again of the Holy Spirit being as a him. 1 Corinthians 13 and 14 then says again, the communion or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The fellowship means you're to have fellowship, communion, intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. He's real. I believe in the word communion or fellowship, there is the word koinonia. And it means intimate friendship. It would ordinarily describe the intimate relationship between a wife and a husband. It was that which produced life. It was that which needed the door to be closed at times. It's that when there are seasons when you need to be intimate with the Holy Spirit, where you need to close the door. It's like when Jesus would get up early in the morning, spend all night. The disciples would get up and they couldn't find him. And the Bible says they would go and they would find Jesus alone with the Father speaking. And that happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. There begins to be this fellowship, intimate. The word in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said it this way one time. When you pray, go into your room. Now, the King James says closet. Most of us remember that phrase. Go into your closet or into your room and shut the door. Everybody say, shut the door. Why would he say, why would you go into your room and shut? Because you're about to have intimate friendship. You're about to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He said, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door. It became known as a bedchamber. Initially, the word for room or the word for closet is where we used to get the word for treasury, began use of a bank later on. And in the Greek, it was something that had to do with where you kept your treasure. Eventually, it became known in that day as a bedchamber. It was precious things that would occur between a husband and a wife. And they would need to close the door so that there would be life begetting things taking place. And Jesus experienced that. He would go many times into his closet. He would close the door. And Jesus would rise and he would enjoy the fellowship. See, there is a need of having an intimate friendship, intimate communion, an intimate time, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, him. Because he's the cutting edge. In the Old Testament, it was God the Father. During the gospel days, it was Jesus. But at the end of the gospels, Jesus stood and said, I'll tell you a truth. It's advantageous that I go away. Because when I go, I'm going to send another person. And he's going to be the cutting edge in this age. He will be that which helps you. He's the helper, the Holy Spirit. And I want you to have intimate friendship with him during this age. The Bible speaks about it. In fact, look at John 16. Realize how close he was to these men. He says, but now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you ask, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is an advantage. It's advantage for you, for I to go away. Because he said, if I don't, he won't come. But if you allow me to go, I'm going to leave. And then you're going to see it is really better that Jesus left. Because look what he has done. Look what he has sent to our lives. And when you begin to live in your life, you begin to understand that Acts chapter 1 said that the last words are always important. And Jesus said, while he was standing with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. Everybody say wait. Wait for the promise. Everybody say promise. The promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me. John baptized with water. Remember John the Baptist? He said, John, when he came on the scene, I baptized with water, but there's one coming after me who baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And Jesus says, you've heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now you need to get that, because last words are important. You knew that. Look at verse 8. But you will receive, everybody say power. Not salvation. Not going to be regenerated. You're not going to be born again. But you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, the uttermost parts of the ends of the earth. Jesus uses the subject of the Holy Spirit. He could have talked about anything at the end, but he chose to speak about the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 2. Listen to what he says. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. It filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, one of the keys, Jesus, and listen, when John the Baptist came on the scene, he introduced Jesus in two ways. And you'd see it go to the next scripture. Listen to what he says. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I'm." Now, listen to this. When John the Baptist came on the scene, he introduced Jesus two ways. He said this: "Behold the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world." And then the second way he introduced him, he said, "He is going to be the one that is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Two ways he introduced him. He said this: "He's going to be the savior of your soul. He's going to be the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world by his blood. And secondly, he's going to be the baptizer with the Holy Spirit." Two separate experiences. Two seasons when you're going to be one thing. You're going to know your sins forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. Secondly is, he will be the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. Has he been both of those to you in your life? Has he been the Savior, the Lamb that took away your sins? And has he been the baptizer of you with fire in the Holy? Come on, somebody. Have you experienced him in both capacities? Are you stuck in one? Look what he says in John 20. It says, go back to John 20 if you would. John 20 and 21. Go back. I'll go forward. John 20. See, there you go. No, go back. Go back again. Keep hitting that little arrow backwards. Can you go backwards or no? Here we go. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you." This is at the end of the gospel. This is before the book of Acts. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now watch this. These are men that had received the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 20, this is before the book of Acts, he came to them and says, "As the Father sent me, so send I you." And the Bible says he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Then look what happened, all right? Now look at Acts. While they were staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You've heard from me." John baptized, but they've already got the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And yet here he is in the book of Acts. Now, stay in Jerusalem. Don't you leave until you receive the promise of the Father. What's the deal? Two experiences. One of them, they're receiving insight. They're receiving the salvation. They're receiving the new birth in their life. Second one is they're receiving the Lamb that takes away. The second one is they're receiving him as the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. He said, "You will be baptized. John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." There was second experience. There was two experiences that's happening in their life. Now, whenever we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, there are three words that if you understand them, it will help you understand what the Holy Spirit does. Now, go ahead and put them. Three words is this. The word, everybody say into. Everybody say upon. And everybody say filled. There are three separate words. And if you'll remember these words, it'll help you understand the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. There is an into work of the Holy Spirit. There is an upon work of the Holy Spirit. And there is a filled work of the Holy Spirit. It continues over and over. Now, let me just talk about it. Number one is into. Everybody say into with me. John 20, we just read it, but I want to read it again. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Everybody say receive. The word receive is the word infuso. It means to inflate like a balloon. In the Greek, it says Jesus breathed into them. There was a breathing into them that they received the Holy Spirit into their life. I believe every born again Christian that loves the Lord has the Holy Spirit in their life. You cannot be born again without the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot be born again without the Spirit of Jesus coming into your life, the Holy Spirit coming into your life and breathing into your spirit like a inflated flat balloon, breathing, and you are inflated like a balloon inside. You receive the Spirit within your heart. It's the Spirit of the Lord. He comes in. He brings alive your spirit. And then your spirit is connected with His Spirit. And you become one. He breathes into them. But that wasn't the end for them. Because just a day or two later, He says, now, you've received the Holy Spirit in your life. But you wait in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. And you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because I was not only introduced as the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world, I was introduced as He that baptizes with fire and with the Holy Spirit. So a twofold thing there. You understand it. And so He breathed, He received. It means to take right now. He says, receive this very instant the work of the Lord. Now, number two, though, is the word upon. Look at Acts chapter 1. Listen to what He says. But you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come where? Upon. Everybody say upon. You shall receive power, not salvation. I'm not breathing this. You've already received the Holy Spirit within you. I breathe and told you receive the Holy Spirit. But He said, but now, if you'll wait, He said, there's a promise of the Holy Spirit coming upon you in power. He said, listen, you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. And then the last one is filled. Acts chapter 4. The word filled said, when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled, everybody say filled. Filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak. Now, I have learned this in my life. I believe there's one time in your life that the Spirit is breathed into your life. I believe there's one time in your life that the Holy Spirit comes upon you in power called the baptism. But there are many, many, many times in your life when you are filled afresh and new with the Spirit of God. The Bible says he was filled. Here's Peter. He's already had the Holy Spirit breathed on him, breathed into him. He's already had the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon him. But now, standing before them, the Bible says he is filled with the Holy Spirit afresh and new. And you can read throughout the Bible, Acts 4 and 7 and 8, it says he was filled. Then verse 31, it says, when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all what? Filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak boldly. Ephesians 5, you know this scripture very well. It says, do not get drunk with wine, but that is debauchery. But be what? Filled. And that word is a continuous action verb in the Greek language. It means be filled and continually be filled with the Holy Ghost. There is many filling. One in conversion into us. One, the baptism, power of experience upon us once. But to be filled is over and over again. So the word upon us, that's what I want, the one I want to concentrate on today. And then at the end, we're going to pray for those that want to be filled the first time. And then, I mean, upon them. And then I want to pray for those that want to be filled afresh and new. Because they prayed, and the Bible says the Holy Ghost came down and filled them afresh. How many of you like to be filled afresh and new today? Just filled afresh and new where it won't become just automatic, but it becomes something new. Luke 24, verse 49. Jesus said, behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father. Everybody say where? Say where? Upon what? Upon you. I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city. Notice the language he uses. Stay in the city until you are what? Until you what again? Say it again. Clothed. The word is enduo in the Greek. It meant an outward adorning. It meant to put on a coat. It meant to put on an outward garment, a cloak. After you've already dressed, to put a cloak on. He said, wait for the promise of the Father, which I'm going to send upon you. You've already received the Spirit. I breathed on you. You received it. Now you're going to receive an outward adorning. Now you're going to receive, you're going to receive a clothing, a cloak. I'm going to put upon you a power. It's going to be something that's going to dress you. It became to be used of putting on a garment or adorning yourself. It was an outward. It changes us outwardly. It's an outward empowering. And he would say, well, who does the Lord want? Why does the Lord want me to have that? Well, watch this. Go to the next scripture. Look what happened to Jesus. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John, which was a baptism of repentance. A baptized, he said, and John said, I don't need to do that to you. And Jesus said, it's right for us to fulfill all righteousness now. Let's obey the Father. And so John baptized him. And notice what happened here. When he came out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open, ripping open, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And later on you read John spoke about it. He says, I didn't know who he was, but the one that the Lord told me, he said, also gave me a sign, says, whom I see the Spirit descending and remaining. See, that was the difference with Jesus. In the Old Testament, even Samson and others, it says when he would do something, the Spirit of God would come upon him. And he would rip gates, he'd rip lions, he would tear up 1,000 Philistines, and then the Spirit would lift. And then another time he'd say, it would come, and then it would go. There would be these mighty feasts, and the Spirit would rush upon him. He would do these things. But John said, here's the key I had about the one that was coming. Whom I see the Spirit descending and remaining. Everybody say remaining. Whom I see the Spirit descending and remaining. He's the one whom I'm descending. And the Bible says the Spirit came like a... Now, what difference did that make in his life? Let me tell you what difference. Jesus had grown up as a boy. You never hear one iota about Jesus of Nazareth until this day when he comes and he openly declares who he is. He's baptized by John, and then the Spirit comes upon him and remains upon him. Oh, what difference? I don't think that's a big deal. Let me tell you what a big deal it was. He'd never done a miracle. He'd never had a demon scream at him. Never walked on water. He'd never done any of those things. And he, nobody ever said, you know, put him up on a, and said he's, notice what happened. Go to the next scripture. Let me show you this. The Bible says when that happened, that the Spirit of God immediately drove him or impelled him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was in wild animals and angels were ministering to him. You know, why would somebody be baptized? Why would somebody receive the upon experience of the Holy Spirit? And then the next thing God does is come and drive him into the wilderness to face the devil. You know why? Because he just received an outward adorning. He just received the anointing of power. He just received you may not have saw any difference in him, but in the spirit world, he was totally different looking now. You may not have noticed anything outwardly, but in the spirit realm, and in that realm, he was totally different now. Because he had just been adorned. He'd just been clothed with power from on high. And he goes and he faces his worst enemy in the world. And the Bible says he strikes him out. 1, 2, 3, out you go. He defeated what Adam could not do. He takes every temptation Adam gave in on and Eve gave in on. Jesus withstood and used the word of God. You know why? Because he'd been clothed from on high with the power. And notice this. Mark 1, and look at this. The Spirit of the Lord is he comes from there and he goes to his city and he takes the scroll and notice the time, whether it was the reading of the day or he picked it. There's a debate on that. Regardless, the timing of the Lord, here's the scripture he uses to announce his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Come on, somebody. He said, here's the scripture I want to start my ministry with. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Everybody say upon me. See, it wasn't the breathing. It was the upon experience of the Holy Spirit. Because he has anointed me. That's the key. That's how the Spirit came upon him. It was through this thing called the anointing. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed. The word is used, a medical term in that day, when a doctor would take his hands and whatever medicine or oil, and he would take them and he would rub them on a patient. And it was the hands of the physician in the oil that would rub them upon the patient. And Jesus uses that terminology. And he says, the Lord has put his hands on me. He's anointed me with the Spirit of God. He's taken the Spirit and with his own hands anointed my life. And that's how he's explaining what's going on in his life. He said, there's been an upon experience in my life. Look, where am I at? Go to the next scripture. Let's see where I'm at. I've jumped around a little bit. He went down to Capernaum. Now he leaves here. He goes down to Capernaum. Now Capernaum was near Nazareth. And when you study that, you know, Jesus was a carpenter, really not a wood carpenter, but a stonemason. That's what they were in that day. He was a tecton. And when you study it out, there wasn't much work around Nazareth. The carpenters in that day would travel. And one of the areas they would have traveled to was an area called Capernaum. Capernaum was a big area that they made. They had a theater there, a Roman theater. Many believe many of the terminology Jesus used when he talked about hypocrites were actors that used. All those phrases were from the Roman theater. And Jesus, the Bible says, had gone to Capernaum many times. But now when he goes, it's a different day. Come on, somebody. He goes to Capernaum again. He'd been to Capernaum many times, I believe. But notice what happens now. He went down after all, you know, the upon experience. Then he explained it. The Spirit of the Lord's come upon me. God's laid his hands on me, anointed me. He went down to Capernaum. No, go back. I haven't read it yet. Go back to 32. Go back. And he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. Next scripture. Get your little arrows going. And in the synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, ha! Everybody say ha. In the Greek language, it means repetitive. It means this man didn't go ha. He went ha, ha, ha. You know why? Because he had a demon. And you know what happened? Jesus, I believe, had been around, and when he was at there, he went to the synagogue. Why didn't this demon ever cry out before? You know why? Because Jesus had not had experience of the upon ministry of the Holy Spirit. He was clothed different. He looked different. And he walked in that synagogue, and the Bible says the first thing that happened, ha! This demon, ha! Ha! Cries out. You know why? Because he sees Jesus walking. And in this demon, he sees in the spirit realm, and he sees Jesus clothed with power from on high. And this demon begins to cry out, what have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Why didn't demons cry out all those other times, 30-some years ago? Why hadn't they cried out 30 years of his life? You know why? Because God hadn't unveiled him. God hadn't clothed him from on high. He hadn't read the scripture, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me. I've been clothed with power from on high. And the Bible says they began to cry out. Demons began to cry out when they saw him and just scream. There comes a time when the Lord did some things, anointed, when the Lord began to do some things in life. Now, what happens in people's lives is this. The upon experience causes a difference in the spirit realm. This is what I say. Some people have rejected the baptism because of the craziness of some people. When we were first baptized, I mean, we had a guy who was in a car. And he had just gotten baptized with the Holy Spirit. He was bananas. He just really lost his mind. Everything was a demon. Come on, somebody. Everything was a demon. They were driving down I-10, and he had a Catholic buddy with him that he was witnessing to. And his Catholic buddy was real Catholic. He even had his prayer bead with him and everything. And I remember his wheel locked up. And instead of pulling the car off the road and changing the wheel, he believed it was a demon. Come on, somebody. And he began to scream at the top of his lung because this Catholic boy really got saved. And that's where I got the story. And he said, the guy began to scream, come out of that wheel, demon. Come out of that wheel. He said smoke was coming in the car from this wheel. Let me tell you, you don't have to make up demons when you walk. They will reveal themselves to you. You go into a place, I'm going to tell you, when you get upon experience, and you will begin to know, and they'll just, like Jesus, Jesus didn't go in that synagogue that day looking for demons. He just walked in the place. And next thing you know, the demon just went bananas because of the upon experience. You don't have to go looking for them. Now, what did Jesus look like? Well, he tells it. Look at Luke. What did Jesus look like? Look what Luke says. But if it is by the finger of God, you know, Jesus was casting out devils, and the Bible says they began to get on him. Says, you're doing that by Beelzebub, the king of your... And he says, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And here's how he explains this. He says, but if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons... Now, let me just stop there and tell you. Jesus cast out demons. He did not cast out every demon in all the world. When Paul was around, he cast out demons. If you want to be like Jesus, and this is where I had to do a new paradigm in my life. If I want to be like Jesus, I'm going to do the things that Jesus did. And one of the things Jesus did was he cast out devils out of people's lives. There are still devils in the world today. There may be a devil in here right now. Oh, well, I don't know about it. Devils come to church all the time. They were in the synagogue at Nazareth. Come on, somebody. They were in the synagogue at Capernaum. They were in church. They go to church all the time. In the wilderness, the devil knew the Bible. Why? Because he'd been to church. Come on, somebody. He didn't have a Bible of his own down in hell somewhere. They have a scroll. Oh, yeah. He had to go to church to hear the word of God. Come on, somebody. Demons go to church. I don't know about that kind of theology. Well, that's what they got upset about Jesus. Because he came on the scene and he walked into a synagogue and demons manifest. Why? Because he had the upon experience of the Holy Spirit. And it says, but if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed. Watch this. You're not getting it, I can tell. When a strong man, fully armed. You ever seen one of those shows? Remember Rambo? He came across, he had this belt, you know, a bullet across his chest. He had a machete over here. He had guns. He had knives every which way. I mean, he was fully armed. You go to another country sometimes, and we go in airports, and they're not just some little, you know, person there with a badge on. There are people there with fully armed. You don't cut up. I mean, they're fully armed. We go in some countries of the world and we go down the street. You know what? They ain't got no play toys. They got tanks. And I mean, they come across. They're fully armed. You know what Jesus said? He said, now, if you're saying I cast out devils by Beelzebub. He said, no, but if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, then the kingdom. He said, let me explain to you what's going on. He says, everybody say a strong man. he's describing himself. When a strong man, fully armed, that means if you could see me in the spirit realm, I'm fully armed in the spirit realm. I've got the upon experience. The Spirit of the Lord's upon me. I'm strong. I'm fully armed. He guards his own palace. His goods are safe. But when one stronger, everybody say stronger. Then he attacks him and overcomes him. He takes away his armor and all that he trusts. Come on, somebody. See, the devil, the Bible says, the devil still has power, some power. But what we've got is stronger. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that happens in your life when you begin to understand the power of it. Everybody say fully armed, would you? See, he puts you on the Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks about it. Ephesians chapter 6. The church at Ephesians was one of those places. It was like the Bible Belt. Ephesus was like the Bible Belt. Everybody that was somebody had preached at Ephesus. Timothy had. Paul had. John had. In fact, John, after he got off the island of Patmos, went to the city of Ephesus and retired there. And that's where many believe that he died. And so everybody that was anybody, they had been to Ephesus. But Ephesus had gotten fat and sassy. They'd gotten where they enjoy teaching, and they'd gotten where they enjoy. When you read the book of Ephesians, it's one of the greatest higher truths that you can read. But they had forgotten how to fight spiritually. And they were being torn up. I mean, spiritually, they were having the stuffings beat out of them. And Paul writes them a letter. And at the end of it, he says, finally, above all, the most important thing of all, he said, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you can be fully armed. Come on, somebody. And you can fight the devil and defeat him. But what happens is this. A woman in California, her name was Helen Pearson. She had a dream one night. I started to do this, but I didn't do it. I thought it would gross some of you out. She had a dream one night. And she dreamed that there was a feast. And she dreamed that she was walking in this feast, and you were handed this huge plate. And everybody got a huge plate. And said, you can fill it up. Take all that you want. And she came to the first table, and it was all this meat, all these steaks. And she, just in the dream, understood that it was the meat of the Word. It was the teachings. It was the Word of God. She understood that. She came to the next table, and it was full of fruit. I mean, there was fruits and lavish fruits of every kind. And she understood this was the fruit of the Spirit. And this, and then she came, when she turned, she looked, and as you see sometimes in the old butcher shops, there was a tongue hanging there. And she said, like everybody else, she said, no, thank you. I think I'll just stay with the meats and the fruits. That's all I want. And you know what happens is there is not wanting to receive this. You know, could speaking in another language be the everyday life of everybody? Can speaking in tongues, I believe, and the debate comes with this, is speaking in tongues the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And there are, and I'm going to tell you this, I'm going to be honest with you, there are groups that believe on both sides of that are Spirit-filled. And let me tell you what I believe. I believe that it is only the initial evidence. Because I've seen some people speak in tongues. I wondered whether or not they ever, I don't know what to, I'll just leave that right there. I believe it is the initial evidence, but it's not the only evidence. If the only evidence you got of you ever spirit-filled, I'll speak in tongues. Well, that's maybe the initial, but there's a lot more evidence than just speaking in tongues. There's the upon experience where you're fully armed, where you're doing exploits for God, and you're seeing things happen in your life. If all you've got is this, you know, this little Bobo Shanda, oh, yeah, I'm spirit-filled, I Bobo Shanda all day long. If that's all you got in your life, I doubt you got anything. Come on, somebody. If that's the only, I believe it is, I've come to the conclusion it's the initial evidence. But it's not the only evidence. Man, there ought to be all of this that goes with the Spirit-filled life. And it ought not be zaniness. Look at Mark chapter 16. When I was a Baptist, you know, I said, well, I'm glad Jesus never said anything about it. He said, go into all the world, just as Jesus, proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not will be condemned. And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they'll cast out demons. And then they will speak with, come on somebody, they will speak with new tongues. Jesus said this. Languages. You know what? You want my Baptist? I'm going to say the truth. When I began to seek for this, you know what? I went to my Baptist pastor. I said, Pastor, Jesus said it. He said, let me explain this to you. He said, do you know who his disciples were? I said, I think so. He said, well, let me tell you who they were. They were sailors. And you know how sailors talk. I went, did one of those. I said, what? He said, you know how sailors talk. You know, they need a new language. Come on, somebody. That's what he told me. The word tongues is literally the word various kinds of languages. That's all it means. It's just languages. And Luke 24, look at this. Jesus spoke about them. And Luke 24, he says, behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city. Remember, he'd already breathed into them. Stay in the city of Jerusalem until you're clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And he blessed them, he parted from them, and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple blessing God. Go next scripture now. Now watch this. When that happened, the promise of the Father, the next book, it begins in the book of Acts. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive, suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days, speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me. John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And here's even Luke, who a physician, recalls the same command and knew the importance of it and said, listen, Jesus brought this. He said, listen, you need to stop everything until you receive. I breathed on you, received the salvation of your souls. You've received that. I breathe into you. You've experienced a New Testament conversion after my resurrection. But there's more. I'm not just the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. I'm the baptizer with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I'll have upon experience where you will be clothed, endued from on high, and you'll begin to do exploits in my name. In Acts chapter 10, it's this way later on. Look what happens. Acts chapter 10. Not Acts chapter 1. Go on. Just hit that. Keep hitting that. But there you go. While Peter was still saying these things, you know, Peter had a way of running at the mouth, to like us preachers, we do. And Peter was preaching, you know, it's like the Lord was just, okay, enough, Peter, enough. And the Bible says, while he was speaking, God went ahead and baptized him anyway. Come on, somebody. He says, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all those that heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Come on, somebody. I mean, Peter wasn't even finished giving. He was just about to wrap up to a great invitation, and God just goes ahead and just whomps and fills him with the Holy Spirit. And it says, you know why we knew they received the gift, same gift we got? It's because we heard them speaking in other tongues. Now, that's one of the reasons I believe it's an initial evidence. For them, they said, you know what, we heard them speaking with it. Acts chapter 11, we're just going to skip that one. That one, go ahead. That was the Apostle Paul. I won't go into it. And Paul, in Acts chapter 19, we read it last week. I won't go into it again. Paul met some disciples. In fact, turn to Acts 19. Go ahead and go to Acts 19. It says, on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. It says, you hear that? He preached to them, they believed, and the Bible says he baptized them in water. Now, when I grew up, go back. Can you go back to verse 5? Because when I grew up, that was the extent. Just hit the backward key. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. I baptize you, brother. You believe in Jesus. You've repented of your sins. I baptize you in the name of the Holy Spirit. When I grew up, that was all you did. You just, when you believed, you baptized in water. That was the end of it. But not Paul. You know what Paul did? Paul said, now I've got you saved. I've got you baptized in water. He said, now I'm going to pray for you for the upon experience of the Holy Spirit. Look what he did. I mean, he did this. Look at verse 6. This is the Apostle Paul. This is Scripture. When he had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, not into them, but came on them, and they began speaking in tongues, and they began prophesying. That is Bible. I don't care what you've been taught. I don't care what you believe. I don't care what you think. That is Bible. They were saved. They were baptized in water, and there was another experience they could experience. And that was Paul laid his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And Jesus Christ was saved long before he went down to the waters of baptism at John the Baptist. And when he was baptized in water, he came out, and following righteousness, because he was doing it, he would have been saved, because John was doing it there. And then the Bible says the Holy Spirit came down upon him, and he was clothed, and he began to be used in a totally different way. Paul, go to 1 Corinthians 14. Just hit it a couple times, just for time's sake. Go on. Go on. Go on. Keep going. Paul said this, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. That's the Apostle Paul. And he didn't do it so much in church as he did it on his own. He said, I thank my God. Paul went around his life speaking in other tongues. Why did he do that? Because he had the power of, and I went a whole Wednesday night. I don't know if we taped it Wednesday night. Did we tape it, Ralph? Is Ralph here? We didn't tape Wednesday night? Okay. I did a teaching. I'll do it again one time and tape it for you. Why pray in the Holy Ghost? I had three reasons why. But Paul said that. Now, do the last scripture. I want you to see. Here is the scripture. When I was a Baptist pastor, it's Luke. Go to Luke, if you would. Go ahead to Luke. Here we go. Go back. Here is Luke 11, and this is the scripture that I was reading one day when I was a Baptist pastor, and I was fighting this, and I couldn't get across this. I want the worship team to come on up, if you would. I couldn't get over, it was a hard hurdle for me to get over growing up Baptist and never experiencing this. And I remember I read this one day, and it clicked in my brain. It says, if ye then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children. Okay, back up real quick now. Think this through. There's already a relationship. This is talking about parents who are evil. But they have children that these are their children. He said, if you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? You know what grabbed me? Here was already somebody that was a child could ask the Father for the Holy Spirit. And I knew that before I'd gotten saved, I wasn't a child of God. And I couldn't ask God for the Holy Spirit. I wasn't a child. There's a relationship already established. That is when you get saved and you're already baptized in water and you're a child of the God. You can come as a child of the Heavenly Father and say, Father, give me the Holy Spirit. Father, pour out the Holy Spirit upon me. Lord, today I want to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. I want the upon experience of the Holy Spirit of my life. I want to receive. We're going to sing that song. Everybody stand up if you would this morning. What we're going to do this morning, and you need to remember this. The Bible says in the book of Acts, they spoke as the Spirit gave the utterance. Did you hear that? Let me show you this. Kenny, come up here a minute. Watch this. Take this mic. And I'm just going to cut this off. Now watch this. I'm going to say something into Kenny's ear, and then he's going to say it. All right? Now watch this.
Give Brother Terry $100.
Now, did you hear that? He didn't make that up. He spoke it, but who said it to him? See, he spoke as I gave him utterance. Come on, somebody. He spoke as I gave him. Okay, thanks, brother. He spoke as I gave him utterance. He didn't sit there and think, am I supposed to make something up? No. What he heard, he spoke. And the Bible says in the book of Acts, they spoke. See, I didn't reach over and grab Kenny's jaw and his tongue and flap it and move his jaw. He didn't go in this trance. Oh, no. He just spoke what I said to him. He just spoke as I gave the utterance what's to say. And what happens is people are waiting for, you know, the parade to come out. And that's what the problem I had is I was waiting for the parade. Go ahead and kill the lights a little bit if you would. Back. I was waiting for the parade to come out and the bass drum to hit. And I was waiting for all that to happen. And I didn't know that that I just had to say, hey, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Father, let the Holy Ghost come upon me. Lord, I just ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I pray for the promise of the Father. And you know what I like about the promise? He said, I don't know if it's for me. You know what I like? Can you go back to Acts? I think it's Acts 2. Go back. I love this scripture because you know what it says? It says that the promise is unto you, unto your children, and to your children's children, as many as the Lord our God. Just hit that reverse button. Just hit the little arrows backwards and keep going, I tell you. Don't think you have it. You know what Peter said? It's Acts, I think Acts 2:38. You know what Peter said? Peter said, the promise. And Peter said, repent, be baptized, everyone of you in the name of the Lord Jesus for forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 39. For the promise, remember Jesus said, wait for the promise of the Father that you've heard from me. John baptized with water, but I'm the baptizer of the Holy Ghost. He said, hear what Peter says. The promise is for you. He's telling the people that day, the promise. Don't worry about whether it's for you or not. It is. He said, the promise is for you, for your children, for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Come on, somebody. The promise is to you. The promise is to you. If you're a child of God, if you've given your heart to God, God wants to clothe you with the power of the Holy Ghost. He tell you like he did those early disciples, well, you ought to really wait. You ought to get serious about this. You ought to seek this. You ought to go nowhere until you receive the promise of the Father, which you've heard. I've said, I'm not only the lamb that takes away the sins of the world, I'm the baptizer with the Holy Spirit and fire. I'll come in your life. I'll do it. I want to do this to begin with this one. I want some of you that maybe you've not been filled afresh and new in a good while, and today you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And God wants to do it. I want the worship team to come get some lively going. I want you guys to get going. And when we do that, I want you to begin. I'm just going to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost up here this morning. Come on. And as you do that, you reach up and say, Lord, fill me fresh and new with the Holy Ghost. And when you do, here's what I'm going to do. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to stop speaking English and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And God to baptize you by the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, worship team, begin to take off. Come on.
Open the floodgates of heaven.
Father, I begin to pray that the Spirit of God.